It's the confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto is back in his office after a precautionary self-quarantine with no symptoms. The mayor spoke Wednesday with WESA's Chris Potter about how the city has been confronting unexpected new responsibilities.
The role of local government in any type of a crisis like this is the continuation of services. That's the local government's role in this. We have had to take on an additional role in looking at health planning and public safety, in expanding the role of our public safety officials into sort of a on-the-ground assurance that people's public health is being taken as the main priority. This really does not have a textbook, so we sort of take this as a take a measured response, see how we're doing, take another step. And over the course of the past 2 weeks, if you track back, the city of Pittsburgh has been ahead of the curve, not only on the federal level, but in many cases on the state level as well, in taking those initial steps. And we're going to continue to do that until we're at a point where we're seeing a downward trend in the number of cases and the number of people who are dying over a prolonged period. It's data that we'll be making this determination from. By the end of next week, we should have much better data to know where we're at.
Obviously, right now, realizing that it does take time for the social distancing and the stay-in-place directives to really show up in the numbers, but right now, the numbers are going up pretty significantly in terms of cases, both in the state and in Allegheny County. At this point, how confident are you that we as a city, we as a region, have taken the steps that we need to take?
I think we've done as good a job as any and better a job than most as a coordination between city, state, and county. And there's a cooperation between the governor, the county executive, and myself, but there's also 129 other municipalities in Allegheny County. And if they decide that they're not going to take the same type of initiatives, then it doesn't really matter what we're doing in the city, even though the city is one out of basically every four people in the county. The ability for the virus to spread in different corners and come back into the city in that type of a way is as real as if it were spreading within the city's borders itself. So this really can't be done without a concentrated state effort and leadership coming on the health side of it from the county.
As you know, the president is already talking about, 15 days and we're out of here. Let's get this economy back going by Easter. How would that affect your efforts if the president did sort of announce the war is over and we've won?
I don't think it's a good idea to come up with magic dates that are just being selected because of a holiday. It was well over 10 weeks in China before you started to see some businesses reopen, and that's some. We're only a few weeks into this, and it would be very unlikely that by Easter Sunday there would be an ability to bring people together.
That said, when we look at other cities that are ahead of us on this curve, no one ever seems to have enough hospital space, no one ever seems to have enough ventilators, no one ever seems to have enough masks. Based on the conversations you've had with health officials here, are we doing enough to prepare for that? And what is being done?
I would say it depends. We have an adequate supply from our hospitals. We have been able to secure some more for our first line responders and public safety. But I don't think that on a long-term basis that we're prepared at this point. And between the county and the state, working with federal and with companies, they are looking to secure additional. I think between the county executive and the governor, we'll be able to secure a significant amount of masks in order to be able to be more prepared for round one. Ventilators are a different issue. The demand for the manufacturing of them is much greater than the ability to produce within our hospital networks locally. We're looking at the possibility of refurbishing older ventilator systems. And for the past 2 months, we've been identifying locations throughout the city of Pittsburgh, either city-owned property, hospital-owned property, university-owned property, to be able to move beds into in order to be able to create additional space outside of the hospitals. But it really comes back to what you said. That's great, you have a place to put a bed, but do you have medical personnel that can work in there? Do you have the equipment that will be necessary?
As you know, the city's garbage workers sort of took the day to raise concerns about how well they're being protected. I know the city's in talks with the union there and hoping they go back to work. What should we know about the city's response to that and what the city is doing for those employees?
All of our employees, we have engaged in adopting the Center for Disease Control standards for worker safety with a pandemic. We have them on scattered start time, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m., so that they're not all in one area at one time. Number two, we have ordered new equipment for them, including new gloves, which we keep at the site. We wash them in the washing machines at the site. We are now cleaning the trucks on a more routine basis. We have worked with our workers to identify what the symptoms are of coronavirus. The one issue about masks, that was an issue that was brought to Dr. Roth, the medical director for the city of Pittsburgh, who informed the workers that it is more harmful to have a mask on, which you're not used to, and you adjust in pulling that glove that you're picking the garbage up with up to your face. So the idea of the workers should each have masks is not supported by our own medical director. We were notified through the media about the events happening down on Railroad Street, and we immediately reached out to the Teamsters, who we've had conversations with throughout this entire planning. They were never notified. It was done by a handful of the employees. And if I were to go down there and negotiate with them, I would be held liable for breaking union laws and collective bargaining.
Right.
So that's why we're negotiating directly through their elected representatives. And they're basically in agreement with us that we have made the conditions as safe as possible. Our own medics aren't wearing masks as they're going into homes. You know, we have to understand that when we sign up for these jobs, this is also part of what we sign up for. I guess we always think about it as weather events, but it also is pandemics.
My last question for you, make a prediction here. What is Pittsburgh going to look like 2 weeks, a month from now?
We will still be seeing a slight increase in the number of cases being reported and in the number of fatalities that are occurring. We will not have hit peak, but the percentage increase will be less exponential than it had been 2 weeks prior to that.
Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto speaking with WESA's Chris Potter. It's The Confluence. I'm Kevin Gavin. Federal, state, and local governments are scrambling to help people navigate financial fallout from the coronavirus. 90.5 WESA's Margaret J. Krause reports people with low or moderate incomes are more vulnerable, especially if they rent their homes. So far, it's unclear just how much help they can expect to weather the storm.
Jem Dittmar has been a Lyft driver for 6 years. Sometimes it's been part-time work. Recently, it's been a full-time gig.
I love working for Lyft. I love people. I love driving. I love the schedule.
Then coronavirus hit. St. Patrick's Day weekend was the last time Dittmar drove, even though they were feeling a little under the weather.
As contractors, you really have no choice. You have to work no matter what.
A few days later, Dittmar had a fever, a cough, pressure in their chest, basically a checklist for coronavirus. Their doctor told them to self-quarantine for 14 days.
It was starting to get scary.
Dittmar rents their car from Lyft. Suddenly, they couldn't drive, which meant they couldn't cover the weekly fee. On its blog, Lyft promised to, quote, provide funds to drivers if they tested positive or had to quarantine. So Dittmar wrote to the company saying they had to stay home and couldn't return the car. After three stressful days, Lyft told Dittmar to have the car towed back. The $500 recovery fee from Lyft came as a surprise.
It hurts, especially having worked for them for over 6 years and having done over 4,000 rides.
The $500 fee from Lyft is a big problem for Dittmar, but it isn't the root problem. The root problem is the global pandemic that shut down the country's economy. Here's how Shevin Yatakin explains it. She's an economics professor at Carnegie Mellon University. If your washing machine stopped working, you wouldn't rip out the entire house's plumbing system. You'd fix the washing machine.
We're having a public health crisis. The reason we're shutting down businesses is to minimize contagion. We don't have enough tests. We don't have enough ventilators. We don't have enough hospital beds. And we don't have enough even protective gear for our healthcare workers.
So first, Yatkin says, government policies have to direct more resources to fight the pandemic. Otherwise, the economic damage will continue to pile up. Help also needs to go to the most vulnerable workers. People who can't work from home very often have lower paying jobs, like childcare workers and grocery clerks.
There's a lot of people that are in a position where if they get a little bit behind, they don't have the savings to cover it.
That's Phyllis Chamberlain, executive director of the Housing Alliance of Pennsylvania. The coalition advocates for decent, affordable housing statewide. About a third of people in Pennsylvania rent their homes. The state Supreme Court leveled a moratorium on evictions through April 3rd, but many people remain vulnerable. Chamberlain would like to see more funding for social service agencies and short-term rental assistance.
Preventing the problem is going to be less expensive than the problem itself.
Early Wednesday morning, the Senate reached a deal on Congress's third relief package. It's expected to provide billions of dollars in aid for state governments, hospitals, expanded unemployment benefits, and direct payments to American families. But the details of available help for renters remain unclear. The Department of Housing and Urban Development is working with Congress to halt evictions for people in public housing, and mortgage holders are likely to see broad relief. All those measures may still miss the immediate risks to renters suddenly without work. Jem Dittmar has $200, and rent is due in a few days. Speaking Monday, they still didn't know if Lyft would drop the $500 charge.
You know, if it puts me below zero, then I won't be able to, you know, basically take care of myself.
Late Wednesday, Lyft told WESA the company would reverse the charge and reach out to offer support. Thanks to friends, Dittmar thinks they'll be okay this month. After that, they have to look for a new job, and it's not a good time to be on the market. Last week, 400,000 Pennsylvanians filed for unemployment, according to a top Pennsylvania labor leader. The state hasn't confirmed that number, but if true, it would be greater than at the height of the 2008 recession. President Donald Trump says he wants to get the economy back on track by Easter, but health officials warn a premature return to business as usual will harm efforts to get the pandemic under control and lead to many more deaths. Margaret J. Krause, 90.5 WESA News.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. From Broadway in New York to Penn Avenue in downtown Pittsburgh, theaters across the country have gone dark. Museums, galleries, and concert halls are closed as well because of the coronavirus. 90.5 WESA's Bill O'Driscoll reports on what it all means for Pittsburgh's cultural scene.
We were having a spectacular year.
Mark Masterson is artistic director of City Theater.
We were exceeding projections artistically. I think the work was extremely strong.
And then the season just stopped, along with that of every other arts and culture group in town. Last week, City Theater announced it was furloughing most of its staff, 19 full-time and 20 part-time workers. March is always the company's biggest month for earned revenue, but the company had to shorten, cancel, or postpone its final three productions this season because of coronavirus. So instead of taking subscriptions for next season, City Theater faces a cash shortfall of about $450,000, a big chunk of its $3 million budget, says Masterson.
It's just a convergence of bad timing.
With 800 or more nonprofit arts and culture groups and some 15,000 full-time, part-time, or contracted workers, the arts are a big part of Pittsburgh's regional economy. And because artists depend on people gathering, they're especially vulnerable to social distancing that could last months. Rebecca Himberger of Dance Troupe Attack Theater speaks for many groups when she says,
right now, we are really faced with the question, can we survive this?
Attack Theater is known for its performances, and like other arts groups, it has experimented with providing art online. But the group actually makes most of its revenue from education, running in-school movement-based programs for students and teachers. All that's shut down, too. Earning more of your revenue stream is usually desirable, but not just now, says Pittsburgh Glass Center's Heather McElwee.
In some ways, I think that the organizations that are being hardest hit from a nonprofit standpoint are those of us that do have really, really strong earned revenue, because that, just took such a sharp decline when we had to cancel everything.
McElwee said the Glass Center is assuming that it will have to cancel its summer classes, too. On April 1st, the group will furlough half of its staff of 21, though employees will keep their health insurance. And the Carnegie Museums of Pittsburgh plans to furlough 500, half its staff, most of them part-timers, until the museums reopen. Bigger groups have higher overhead. The Carnegie, with its four museums, will lose about $1.4 million a month while closed. To tide it over, it will draw on its endowment. Small arts groups, and that's most of them, seldom have such funds. Janet Sarbaugh is with the Heinz Endowments.
In the best of times, we also know that cultural institutions are inadequately capitalized.
The average nonprofit arts group in Pittsburgh gets two-thirds of its income from contributions. Foundation support for the arts is strong in Pittsburgh, and philanthropies have been talking with arts groups behind the scenes. But now foundations have additional priorities, including direct services for people hurt by the shutdown, like food, shelter, and health care. The losses to the cultural sector caused by the shutdown will be large, says Sarbaugh.
We cannot immediately or even in the medium term restore it to its former place, to the way it was even a few months ago.
Then there's the stock market crash, which has devastated the portfolios of both foundations and individual donors. Many arts groups survived the 2008 to 2009 recession, but Malia Toranjo, CEO of Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, says this time is different.
I think 2008-9 was probably a piece of cake compared to what we're dealing with right now.
The financial repercussions will likely take years to play out. But in the short term, groups are asking ticket holders to help out by donating the price of their tickets to canceled shows. Many say the response has been positive. James McNeil is managing director of City Theater.
We've had almost no requests of refunds to this point. We've had everyone saying, we're behind you, we cannot wait for you to come back.
Others are optimistic, too.
One thing we know, that art always survives.
Mark Southers has run Pittsburgh Playwrights Theater Company for 16 years.
It's just a matter of how it survives and when will it be out in the sunshine again.
I'm Bill O'Driscoll, 90.5 WESA News.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. A reminder to keep up to date on how the spread of the new coronavirus is affecting our region. Go to our coronavirus blog at WESA.FM. Thanks to our team, Tom Hurley, Kylie Kozinski, and Megan Harris. Until next time, I'm Kevin Gavin. Please be safe, and I hope you have a good day of good news.